catching you up on the latest stories from around the Sunshine State that you should know heading into this Wednesday, October 13th. I'm Anthony Montalto, and this is The Point from WUFT News. It's been 3 years since Hurricane Michael ripped through the Florida Panhandle, devastating so many communities along the coast. Each city and town is in a different place when it comes to rebuilding. I spoke with WFSU's Valerie Crowder, who's been reporting on this since the storm. She got me up to speed on several different communities.
One thing I've definitely noticed 3 years after the storm is that recovery really has come a long way in Bay County. There's still a lot of work that needs to be done, and not every community is rebuilding at the same pace. So whenever you look at Panama City, for instance, which is the county seat, they've really come a long way in their recovery, and it looks totally different. The town was absolutely devastated after Hurricane Michael. Most all public facilities, businesses, homes were destroyed or received some degree of damage. And now whenever you go, for instance, in downtown Panama City, they've had 67% more new businesses opening since before Hurricane Michael. And that statistic came from Panama City Mayor Greg Brodnicki. That's something he recently shared. And just walking downtown now, you see a lot more cafes and shops that weren't there before. I was walking around downtown Sunday evening on the third anniversary of Hurricane Michael just to kind of get a sense of what it felt like 3 years out. And I saw a lot of new businesses that I hadn't seen before. I guess those have recently opened. So it really has come a long way in that regard. But when you go to other smaller communities in Bay County, including Mexico Beach, where Michael actually made landfall, those communities are further behind what you might see in Panama City, for instance. In Mexico Beach, they actually still don't have a grocery store. They have one sit-down restaurant. The mayor says they need more sit-down restaurants to really, you know, be a draw for tourists and get their tourism economy back up and going. They have three motels there that were destroyed that are now coming back online. They're under construction right now. The mayor said he expects those to reopen in the next year and a half or so, and that is expected to really boost their tourism economy and just allow people to stay there and visit the beach.
This is WFSU's Valerie Crowder on the impacts of Hurricane Michael.
Their public facilities are still, you know, still haven't been rebuilt. They don't have a municipal building or city hall yet. The police and fire station still haven't been rebuilt. Their parks still are offline. Their pier hasn't been rebuilt yet. So they still have a lot of amenities that haven't come back after the storm, and they haven't actually secured the funding, the federal emergency management agency funding to get those amenities back. Right now, the mayor says they're in negotiations with FEMA to find out how much money they can actually secure for those projects. The town doesn't have a lot of money. There's about, you know, 1,000 people who live there, and they had the worst devastation from Hurricane Michael. But a lot of things have come back online there. They've been working on dredging their canal and getting that back open. They now have their marina back. They have a gas station finally, which was a big deal because they're kind of far out from other communities in the county. But it's still a work in progress in Mexico Beach and also in Lynn Haven. That's another smaller community further inland. And they actually have been subject to an FBI investigation, and their mayor actually resigned last August and was arrested on federal corruption charges. And that, you know, kind of put a lot more on the town as they're trying to recover from Hurricane Michael. They just started construction last month on their municipal building, which is going to house City Hall and the police department. So that still hasn't come back in Lynn Haven. A lot of the Lynn Haven homes and businesses, though, have come back, but they're still working on their public facilities. They've got a sports complex that hasn't been rebuilt yet. And so they're still working on getting their facilities back online.
That was WFSU's Valerie Crowder on the impacts of Hurricane Michael 3 years later. For more on this story, head to WFSU.org. Now let's get into some top headlines. The Miami-Dade Independent Civilian Panel met for the first time Tuesday in downtown Miami. The police oversight panel was created last summer in the aftermath of protests for police accountability in the murder of George Floyd. Former Miami-Dade Commissioner Barbara Jordan spearheaded efforts to create the panel. That's even after it was vetoed twice by former Mayor Carlos Jimenez.
Just to get it through was very difficult, but it's done. It's done, and now it's here, and they have their membership. Finally, they've even had amendments since I left, which is okay, as long as they now have the first meeting. So we know that it's off the ground and moving.
The first few meetings of the oversight panel are aimed at laying the groundwork to hear cases of alleged police misconduct and use of force incidents. The Miami-Dade Police Department is the largest police force in the state of Florida. State officials are investigating a water spill at a phosphate mine in Hillsborough County. According to WUSF, 6 million gallons of water spilled out of the mine owned by the Mosaic Company. Some of it ended up in a nearby creek. The spill was water from a pipeline used to transport sand to reclamation areas within the mine. The State Department of Environmental Protection is investigating and could impose fines and fees. More than 350 Florida doctors have signed a letter asking state lawmakers to closely scrutinize Governor Ron DeSantis' nomination for Surgeon General Dr. Joseph Latipo. Latipo previously promoted hydroxychloroquine as a treatment for COVID. The World Health Organization says that drug is not effective. The Surgeon General nominee also opposes mask mandates in schools against the recommendations of the Federal Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and the American Academy of Pediatrics. The Florida Senate is set to confirm his nomination early next year. Subscribe to The Point newsletter, which drops the latest Florida stories into your inbox daily at 8 a.m. Head over to WUFT.org for more info. It's just a click away. I'm Anthony Montalto, and you've been listening to The Point from WUFT News out of the University of Florida. Have a great one.